This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
A lot of the ways that this game unfolded, I feel a huge sense of responsibility to this team. We weren't ready to go. I take a lot of pride in that, and that's on me. I got to do better. There was a lot of decisions that I made that I felt like didn't put our players in good enough spots. This was a humbling experience, but we're going to stay connected. We're going to all look inward. We're going to do a better job moving forward, but you give credit to the Bills, and then we've got to understand that we've got to have that mindset and mentality to be able to move forward accordingly. But I do take a lot of responsibility in this. It was a very humbling night, but one that, you got to be able to look yourself in the mirror, say, I got to be better within the framework of my role. That's exactly what I'm going to do. That's what I know our coaches are going to do. That's what our players are going to do. And we're going to stay together, and we're looking forward to our next opportunity to be resilient and respond. You know, this hasn't been the first setback that we've experienced, and we're going to respond the right way. I do trust that. And all I know how to do is look at this film, correct it, put together a good week of preparation, and be ready to go against the Falcons next week. But there's no way to put it other than, didn't do a good enough job. It starts with me, and then we can overall execute better in a lot of areas.
Humbling night for the defending champion Rams.
Yeah.
Historic night for Sean McVay, who is under 500 as a head coach for the first time in his career. But there's another way to put it. I'll put it like this. We expected a shootout between the Rams and the Bills. And as the old saying goes, the Rams brought a knife to a gunfight. The Bills bought a Draco. And I say that because, Michael, before we go any further, I have never been more proud to be your brother from another. Because I came in planning to give you so much shit. I came in planning to say, no, there is absolutely no room on this here bandwagon. But brother, you know the weight of my heart. You know how I feel about Griselda, Black Soprano Family, yeah. Benny the Butcher, Conway the Machine, Benny West Side Gun, 38 Special. Yes. Your feed today is a work of art, and dare I say, is the greatest feed. You and I are the only people that get off on this anyway. Nobody even pays attention to this, but we get off on this. It is the greatest feed in the history of this show. Bravo, brother. Bravo. If you know,
Benny the Butcher.
You know.
Benny the Butcher.
You know. That's the
feed. There it is.
And if you're listening on SiriusXM on the podcast, check our Twitter page to read the feed or something. I don't know what to say. I ain't going to go through
but,
it all.
Hey,
but
all you need to know, hey, all you need to know is
chef's kiss.
Crowns for kings. That's it. Crowns for kings. Leave it right there. Not only some great lyricism on there and great rapping from Benny the Butcher and Black Dog.
And great writing from you in that feed.
and Mike, how about the sample? How about the consistent sample? Ooh.
Yeah.
Al Green.
Right.
Look what you've done for me.
And look what you've done for me. Of all Al Green songs, not Love and Happiness, but look what you've done for me.
Come on.
Okay.
Man. Look.
Okay.
But I got to tell you, you're right. Buffalo, and I know, Mike, okay, here's a disclaimer. One disclaimer. We both have to put this out. Well, I'm going to put it out. I don't know. You may not agree with this. One game, Thursday night, September. It does not necessarily mean that the Rams are going to be 7-10 and that Buffalo is going to go 15-2. But that being said, oh, wow.
Right.
Oh, wow. What a statement. What a statement from the Buffalo Bills, and statements all over the field. I mean, statements from the coaching staff. Last time we saw Leslie Frazier, defense wasn't great. Defense was great last night. Von Miller, first game, getting set. Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen. I mean, like, all over the field, the Buffalo Bills.
They covered kicks like their lives depended on it last night. All the way down to their coverage
team. And they overcame.
Teams.
How many turnovers? They have four turnovers, right?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, four. Yeah, so, yeah.
That's
two,
not
two fumbles,
even.
Two interceptions.
So they don't feel like they don't even feel like they played their best game. You didn't play your best game. If you turned over four times, you didn't play your best game, and still, their A minus game, B plus game, was enough to have a commanding 31-10, not that close kind of performance.
So this is why I'm comfortable overreacting to one game with Buffalo, because it's not like they're just some cute upstart team. Going back to our man Benny the Butcher, this feels like year three in the beginning of a 10-year run. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not a team that we didn't see coming. This is the Super Bowl favorite that has had a lot of hype, a lot of betting action. I'm speaking your language now. A lot of betting action around it this offseason. Yeah. And all they did was confirm what we thought we knew coming into the season. Against on the road, when nobody wins on the road, let alone decisively, nobody wins on the road against the defending Super Bowl champion when they're hanging the banner. Not like that. And so what we saw last night was exactly what I said yesterday, which is show me the hole in this roster. Bro, they got seven sacks without blitzing. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to be able to get that kind of pressure without blitzing. But they got your man Von Miller, okay? They got the hired gun. They got this mercenary named Von Miller, and they showed no mercy to poor Matthew Stafford. We'll get to the Rams in a second. But yeah, man, crowns for kings. Let's go ahead and do our Dennis Green thing right now and crown them. Now, I had them winning the AFC. I had them winning the AFC yesterday. There's still time, because I think you had the Chiefs.
I do.
Given your, and you know why? Given your the homage you paid to Benny the Butcher,
I just give him their
love. But I'm willing to make some phone calls to get some room on this bandwagon if you want to join the Bills bandwagon.
They don't need it. Too much damage has been done. It's irreparable.
No, it's not.
I'm there at the side of the road doing this, and they're just like zooming by. Like, nah, man.
They're driving through puddles. Splashing water.
You see somebody? I didn't see nobody. But I'll tell you why I'm sticking with Kansas City. It's like, and this is almost like, you usually don't see this in football as much as you do in basketball. Remember, like, especially old school basketball, you had to like go through your nemesis to finally make it to the finals. So like the Pistons, old school, you know, Isaiah Thomas Pistons had to get through the Celtics to get to the NBA Finals. And, you know, you've got to, whether it's the Lakers, you play those big teams, the Lakers, the Celtics back in the day, you had to go through them.
Yeah, you got to climb the rough side of the mountain. To get to where
you want to go. And for Buffalo, that thorn, getting biblical on you now, that thorn in my side, that thorn is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Is it, though?
They had the AFC. AFC Championship game. AFC Championship game a couple years ago in Kansas City. Buffalo had a lot of momentum. They went to Kansas City. They melted down. They did not play a great game then. Kansas City go to the Super Bowl. Last year, the 13 seconds, you got them. We finally got them.
It haunts them.
But the problem with
last year was the coin toss. And you and I spent all offseason talking about the merits of overtime.
That was not the problem.
It was the coin toss.
That wasn't the problem.
If you're Buffalo, all I'm saying is if you're Buffalo, you don't feel like you got to go through Kansas City. Even though they didn't win the AFC last year, neither did Kansas City for the record. If you're Buffalo and they played like this last night, you feel like the AFC comes through us. Because the AFC should have gone through them last year. But it wasn't so much that Kansas City was better than them. It's that they gave it away with 13 seconds, and they didn't win the kickoff. That's how I would look at it if I was the Bills. Not that we got to get over the hump that is Kansas City. It ain't like Kansas City's won in the last 2 years.
That's a very disrespectful view.
Is it?
That was a very – that's disrespectful to Kansas City.
I'm disrespecting Kansas City? Am I?
Yes. You said the reason they didn't win last year because you're gonna put it on the coin toss and they gave it away? They gave it away?
Yeah. That's how I saw that game. I don't know what you saw.
Okay, well, I just know Kansas City.
See, this is why you can't be on the bandwagon.
I know, I don't want to be on the bandwagon.
Part of being on the bandwagon, you gotta look at everything from a Bills perspective.
I wanna give them their love and their respect, but I think they probably know it too. You think somebody in Buffalo says, "Oh man, we gave it away," or
yes.
did Kansas City yes. take? Okay, well, yeah, somebody no. in Buffalo
yes.
would say that.
Yeah.
I would say exactly. Kansas City took it from them because they made two really good plays with 13. Mm-hmm. They did everything they could. They maximized 13 seconds. Think about it this way: economists all around the world say, "Now that is a brilliant use of time and space." 13 seconds. You had 13 seconds, and you did all of that to force overtime. And then we can get into the coin toss and stuff. But all you had to do was defend them and keep them from getting in that situation. They couldn't do it.
Right. So I'm saying, like, if we're disrespecting anybody, well, if you're disrespecting anybody because I am grandfathered in, it's the Cincinnati Bengals, the actual AFC defending champions. Yeah. I know Kansas City, for the most part, has been the class of the conference for the last several years. And there's no reason to believe that they won't be there at the end again. All I'm saying is if you're Buffalo and you got that quarterback and you got those receivers,
ooh,
you got that defense, to which it was the number one defense last year, quiet as it's kept. The only reason I say quiet as it's kept is because somebody on this show didn't want to recognize them as the number one defense last year.
On paper,
there you
they
go.
Didn't
Thank
work.
You. Right, on cue.
Hey,
can right I say on this? Cue.
Can I say
to this? Which they then added
Von Miller.
Can I
say this is beautiful?
So, as I like to say, cancel Christmas. Go ahead. What you got?
Hey, I want to say, I just, a note, and I don't know if we'll talk about it later, but just a little aside, when Bill Belichick gave a one-on-one to Dan Shaughnessy today, and one of the things he said.
Wow. That's
yeah, he did. How about that?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Some good stuff in that. Yeah. Dan Shaughnessy, for those who don't know, columnist, a longtime columnist for the Boston Globe. But anyway. Mm-hmm. One of the things he said in there just was, he said, yeah, we had a good defense last year, statistically. He said, statistically, mm-hmm. at least. It was a good mm-hmm. defense. So mm-hmm. Buffalo mm-hmm. was number one last year, and the Patriots were number two. Mm-hmm. So the number one defense gave up a score with 13 seconds left in the game, and the number two defense couldn't force Buffalo to punt. An entire playoff game, couldn't force a punt. So statistically, it's correct.
So I got another S word for you. The word is situational. Situationally, neither of those defenses was championship caliber.
That's
I think,
fair.
Again, it's only one game, but that's what Von Miller was brought in for those types of situations. And every team in the league has got a situation on its hands when it comes to how to slow down Buffalo's offense. And if you can't keep up with Buffalo's offense, even when they're turning the ball over, how are you supposed to move the ball against a pass rush that can get it, that can make life hell for your quarterback with four and keep those safeties deep to prevent you from making big plays and catching up with their offense and keeping up with that offense? Josh Allen, all right, we want to talk about do-overs, man. Look.
Come on.
Where's your quarterback say,
list? Where's your list?
You know,
throw that
you
out.
Know exactly. Oh, I mean, you know, you and I are old enough. In the 80s, the prototype. I hope that you're the one. If not, you are the prototype.
The prototype
was John Elway. That was Robo QB. That was the guy built in the lab once upon a time was John Elway.
Mm-hmm.
That's the prototype right there. I came in front. That's the prototype right there. And the previous Terminator, okay? What was the first one? It was the T-100. If Cam Newton is a T-100, yeah. Josh Allen's a T-1000. Josh Allen's that alloy joint that was melting in Terminator 2, or the one that was copying people in Terminator. Like he's different. He built different. Okay. He's Cam Newton with accuracy, okay?
Here it is.
The dude.
Here it is. It is.
I mean, it's unfair.
Oh, God.
What he is able to do and what he's willing to do. Not just able to do, what he's willing to do. Josh Allen gives no Fs. about anything or anybody, including himself. There was one point where he was running up the middle between the tackles and he had his leg up one way and he was stretched the other way like that was about to split
That's
him in half.
He
got up pushing people. He doesn't care. And I'll say this. I still say there is nobody that I believe that defenses fear more with the ball in his hands at the quarterback position than Tom Brady. I still feel that
really?
Way. He's still the best quarterback in the league. But
no, he's not.
Josh, there's nobody more fun to watch. There's nobody more fun to watch. And I don't know that there's a quarterback I would rather have. If I could, let me split that Adam. Let me split those
hairs.
Okay,
you are.
This is going to be good. I totally am. I'm trying to have it both ways. Josh Allen is the prototype, man. Like, it's just, he, good luck.
Okay.
Good luck against this dude.
Here's the problem. This is why, Tom Brady, can I just say this? Tom Brady, as we've established many times on this program, the architect of this home. Thank you, Tom. Tom Brady, we appreciate you. We love you. And you've given us a very good life. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thomas Edward Patrick Brady. Thought about naming all of my kids Brady in some way, but I couldn't get there. So he's got the best resume. He's got the best resume of any player in NFL history, quarterback or otherwise. Best resume. But Josh
Allen. Most accomplished player in NFL history. Yes.
Josh Allen is a better quarterback than Tom Brady right now simply because of this. If you're a defense, there's not an area of the field where you feel comfortable. Or there's no scheme that you can come up with
threaten.
And say, you say, oh, we feel good about this. You don't feel good about anything. Like with Tom Brady, the cliche, and it's true, cliches exist for a reason. Cliche is pressure up the middle, Tom doesn't like it. Okay.
That's every quarterback, though. I hate that.
Except, I know.
None of them like pressure, like talking about it.
But this is the problem. With Tom Brady, what they're saying, implied in that is, if you get Tom Brady pressure up the middle, ain't nothing he can do about it to get out of the way.
Yeah, he can't step up.
Which is true.
There's only so much of this he can do.
Pressure. Right. Go ahead. Pressure Josh Allen up the middle. Okay.
Hell, he's pressuring you. One of these times, somebody going to come on, you're going to just take somebody on in the pocket. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
You're going to lower his head in the pocket.
So he's got it right now, and this is no slight on Brady's arm, because Brady's arm is fine at 45 years old, thank you. But Josh Allen has a stronger arm than Tom Brady. Yep. He is stronger than Brady. He's faster than Brady. So it's really hard to find. And I guess, okay, here's the area. Here's the area where Brady is better. Either, you tell me, quarterback, is it decision-making or is it just flat-out accuracy? Because last year, we keep talking about Matthew Stafford. I know we'll talk about him later. He had 17 interceptions last year and a bunch of pick sixes. Josh Allen had 15. He had 15 picks last year. And so is it, and he had a couple last night. One wasn't his fault. One was a bad one. Is it decision-making that can be sharpened, or is it still a little bit of an accuracy issue?
It's not necessarily like what Allen is missing. It's just what Brady has done and continues to do. It's not like he wasn't MVP runner-up last year. Not like he didn't lead the league in most basic and advanced passing metrics last year. It's just what Brady does in critical moments, I guess, would be the differentiator for me. But I'll meet you halfway here, all right? As we bring our flowers, as we crown King Josh Allen, right? I'll give you this. So, you know, under the category of trying to have things both ways, all right, I coined this distinction. I started this. I built this. Brady's the greatest quarterback. Rodgers is the best to ever play the position. That started with me, okay? Allen, I'm being slightly facetious.
But you believe it. You believe that. You believe that both things can be true, and they can't. But you believe they can't.
Oh, you talking about that? I thought you meant that I was the first to say it. Okay.
No, you were the first to say it.
Oh, you mean the sentiment itself.
I
think both things can be true.
No, they cannot. Go ahead.
It's the T word. Okay, you've heard this before, that Rodgers is the most talented quarterback in the NFL right now or to ever play the position. You've heard that.
Yeah, I think
Allen can be that. right now and maybe ever, Allen can be that. When you combine his physical attributes with how he's developing up here, he can be that. And it's just really so amazing, such a testament to hard work, because this is not, he wasn't pick 199. He was not pick 199. But in that draft, right, he was so raw, and his rookie year, he was so inaccurate. The work
we
that,
saw him. I mean,
the work
yeah,
that it, Daboll and Dorsey and Romo, I believe, was working with him at one point, that all that they have done on his mechanics, and that he has done on his mechanics, and the work that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have done as an organization to put him in position to succeed. Talk about prototypical quarterback. Blueprint for how to develop and support a quarterback is Josh Allen.
They've done an incredible job. They really have with the organization. But if you think about the steps of it, as you just said, Josh Allen, the number 6-7 pick in that draft. His first couple years, you're looking at him saying, oh, I don't know. He's got a big arm, always had a big arm, and always had that athletic ability. I don't know if this guy's ever going to figure out accuracy. He was all over the place. I mean, even short stuff. Man, the balls would be sailing all over. He missed receivers. He was just untamed. He was untamed. And now I think he has done a good job, as you said, of shaping it. But it's not just Josh Allen. They made a great decision to get your guy, Stephon Diggs.
Right.
When he went out of Minnesota,
right,
going
Minnesota,
against Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
All the draft choices they've made, the free agents they picked up, they really have done this is it's not like the Rams, where the Rams went out and they drafted well in some cases, but then they went out and spent some money. And
mostly homegrown.
Spent
mostly
their homegrown draft picks. But the Bills have just really steadily, strategically built a championship team. What?
You still got the Chiefs. And you still got the Chiefs though in the AFC. You're sticking with the Chiefs.
Yeah, Buffalo's got to prove it.
All right.
They got to prove it.
Okay. All right.
The burden of proof is on Buffalo.
You nailed it. I want to frame that feed. Did I tell you that Josh Allen's my fantasy quarterback? Took him 25th overall in a 20-team league, and I feel great about it.
How you doing so far? Early results. How you doing?
It's a good feeling when it's like you're sitting on like 35.6 points. You just get to sit on that for like 3 days. That's a hell of a
thing. The turnovers hurt. Turnovers must
have hurt. Not really. I got 35 points out of him.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
I went through every scenario that I possibly could, and when I woke up this morning, you know, I was ready to go. I went and had breakfast. I trusted my preparation. I did everything I could possibly do to have success in this game, and today was fun. You know, I didn't feel like I had anything to worry about. You know, I already thought about the things that could possibly happen on the field. It was a great reception from everybody over there at the Rams side, from the fans and everybody. It was great, man, being here in SoFi, man. This is how you want it to go.
I know they're in different conferences, but it's almost like it's Dion-like. Remember Dion was with the Niners in 94, and then Jerry was like, nah,
then
you coming
Cowboys
over here and you want a Super Bowl the next year? Kind of like just that mercenary, that hired gun, you know? So I finished the last segment talking about I got Josh Allen on my fantasy team. What I did not mention in the last segment, but I will mention now, is in another league, I have Allen Robinson. Fortunately, I have no parts of Cam Akers. And fantasy managers everywhere today are wondering what to do about those two individuals. But in reality, how worried are you, or should Rams fans be about the defending champions? Because yesterday, when I didn't pick them to come out of the NFC, you was like, well, that's the team you picked last year. Why not the Rams?
Yeah, you know what?
And listen, I couldn't have foreseen last night happening to them in the Rams' house.
Well, But before I tell you how I feel about the worry level, what the worry level should be, can I just say to Von Miller, the reception you got was not from Rams fans. It was from Bills fans in SoFi.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The Rams, y'all got a problem. Y'all got a problem. Y'all just ain't loud enough, or you ain't got enough people yet. We don't believe you. You do need more people in the stadium. Because
hey,
anybody comes in there.
At training camp, and they both say hello. At training camp, I went and saw our man Les Snead and Ray Farmer, for that matter.
Love
and
it.
I was talking to him about Amazon Prime Video, Thursday Night Football. I was like, oh, yeah, when do we have you? When do we have you guys? We're like, got you guys late in the year against Vegas. It was like, damn, that game's at home, huh? And they both just were like, ugh. Because they know what it's going to look like
yep.
with all those Raiders fans taking over SoFi Stadium, to your point.
Yeah.
Like, they know.
No,
they know it's
like,
a weird dynamic there. We saw it with the Niners last year.
It's a really strange thing, and it's too bad because, you know, they got a good team. But so all the things I told you, I was giving you a hard time yesterday. You didn't pick the Rams, and they got their guys signed to long-term extensions, and they got
Bobby Wagner and Allen Robinson.
You know, Wagner and Jalen Ramsey, you know what I'm saying? What I didn't just state the obvious, Matthew Stafford doesn't look right. Matthew Stafford, and the reason he doesn't look right, I think, is the reporting that's coming out now about his elbow and the procedures.
You thought his elbow was a problem last night?
I think the elbow was part of the problem. He didn't look right to me. And the other thing was the offensive line.
Yeah.
The offensive line.
What was the ball spinning out of his hand the way we're accustomed to? Was there some heat on it? No, there were a couple of times where it was more anticipation and accuracy. But to me, it just felt like my man was just uncomfortable because they couldn't block. They couldn't block a four-man rush.
Yeah, I think you should be worried a little bit. You should be worried not about the line, because you can figure out the line. You can figure it out unless you just got bad linemen. It's probably not going to get better. It'll get better. The offensive line will get better. But Mike, I know we didn't see it last night. The injury is a concern to me.
Okay.
Because he's everything. He's our second most important guy on offense. Matthew Stafford. And the number one guy is Cooper Kupp. Because if you take away Cooper Kupp, then their offense just collapses. With or without Stafford, if you don't have Cooper Kupp, the Rams aren't the same. But Stafford's pretty important, and I just looked at him. I was like, what's going on with him? Yeah, I'd say worry, 1 to 10, 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I would say 1 to 10. It's a great tackle.
3?
Ill-advised, but great tackle. I mean, I'm sorry. I can't. So I'm happy to overreact to how good the Bills are after one game. I'm going to swing the pendulum the other direction and course correct by giving us a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10, how much I'm worried about.
Really? Concerned? So you still have Rams?
None. I think the Bills are just that good. I think the Bills are just that good. Like very few teams can apply the kind of pressure that they can in every phase of the game. Like, offensively, if they don't turn it over, not even a Rams defense that's pretty damn good can do anything with them.
Yeah.
Bro, Jalen Ramsey was getting cooked last night. And some would say that's not a new thing. You know? But, I mean, but that's Stephon Diggs. That's Josh Allen throwing on the run, throwing it over his head. It's like, bro, the Bills are a problem for any and everybody on offense. And on defense, they can drop those two safeties back and not have to worry about getting pressure. Like, they get blitz-like pressure rushing 4 because of Von Miller. Now, you could say that's the Rams' offensive line. Like, okay, fair enough. But it just feels like the Bills have the capability of overwhelming a lot of people this year. I'm not worried about the Rams. Will the Rams be dominant? Nobody's repeated since the 04 Patriots, as you well know. The 03 Patriots were good. As they went 14-2 good and won a Super Bowl, ran through the co-MVPs in those playoffs. The 04 Patriots were all-time good, offensively and defensively, with Corey Dillon at running back. Are the Rams this year going to run roughshod through the rest of the NFC? No. But they'll make the playoffs, and then we'll see.
They don't have to do that. They don't have to run roughshod. Okay. They don't have to run roughshod through the NFC, but they also can't get ran through. Okay? And that's what happened.
But how many teams are as good as Buffalo?
Man, how many teams are as good as Buffalo? This. Okay, not many. But the Rams are defending Super Bowl champs. They're playing at home. They got Banner Night. They got Cooper Kupp there. They got Matthew Stafford there. They have Jalen Ramsey, as you point out. They got Bobby Wagner. They got all these elements in place.
They forgot they had Allen Robinson.
That just didn't show up. It didn't play well on night one. And they lose by 3 touchdowns. And it's not even 3 touchdowns. It really felt like it was like 40-10, didn't it? It's 31-10, but it felt a lot worse. So, right.
You and I, long time ago,
but the Rams are supposed to be competitive with Buffalo.
Maybe not now, but who knows what they are come playoff time. Maybe come to Super Bowl. Maybe it was a Super Bowl preview. Maybe the same thing happens again. Maybe they get the brakes beat off them again and both of them get to Arizona. We'll see. But I was going to say, you and I both made our national TV debut on a show, a long-running hit show called Around the Horn. And what was one of the go-to questions when there was an extreme outcome in a game?
Always.
Two words.
Let me see.
More
let me
about.
Let me take a stab at this. More about, did the Bills win it or did the Rams lose it?
Right. Or the Bills is good or the Rams is bad. You know, like one of those things. Right. Okay, like this is the Bills for me. This is all about the Bills for me. And the Rams were just in their way. You know, like real Buffaloes. You're getting the Buffaloes away, Buffalo don't care what it is. They're running through you. The Bills right now don't care who's in front of them. Defending champ or not. And yeah, do the Rams have some areas that they need to clean up? Their running game, their protection, Allen Robinson, Jalen Ramsey doesn't look very number one corner-ish as of late.
I don't think it's
problematic to the point where it's like, oh man, the Rams may collapse, or the Rams were a flash in the pan, or they were, they're not a one-hit wonder. This has been a premier program for several years. The elbow, look, man, is the elbow something to be managed? Sure. Yeah. But I don't think the elbow is what caused Matthew Stafford to, and I can say this as a defender of Matthew Stafford, I don't think the elbow caused Matthew Stafford to go Matthew Stafford last night and throw a few picks, which he's wont to do.
So you made a couple of references. I am eager to have this conversation with you either now or at another time, because it's been on my mind for a while, even before last night. You made this reference to Jalen Ramsey not looking number one-ish. And your first reference, you said, some would say that's not a new thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I can tell you, watching him, I spent a lot of time just in SoFi, like maybe for like two or three series, just focused on him in the Super Bowl because the seats were that good. So I was like, okay, wow, this is a great angle. Let me just watch Jalen Ramsey. And let me tell you, Ja'Marr Chase, no, the great Ja'Marr Chase, got it. Ja'Marr Chase ain't had no problems with him.
None.
T. Higgins ain't had no problems. They had no problems. It's not like every time they got open, Joe Burrow threw the ball to them. It wasn't like that.
No, he missed a few. It
wasn't like he jammed them up. He was able to press them and keep them from where they wanted to go. A lot of times they had very smooth releases against Jalen Ramsey, and a couple times they just flat out beat him, including the last play of the game. And we know Joe Burrow didn't have time, but Jalen Ramsey fell down. Last night, he did not look like the best corner in football, or did he? Because I'm wondering, around the horn style, I'm wondering, is this more about Jalen Ramsey or is this more about the position itself? It's a position, I think so. It's a position a little bit, do we have to adjust our expectations for cornerback, of number one cornerback in 2022? Because we're throwing more. There are more balls thrown now than any point in history. If you were a number one corner 25 years ago, maybe the quarterback was throwing 20 times or 25, 30. Yeah. Quarterback can throw 50 times today. So you ain't going to shut down. Nobody is giving up half the field. Nobody's going to say, oh, we ain't throwing over there. There's not an offensive coordinator worth their salt who thinks that way.
I'll say this. Right. I'll say this, though, too. Hey, listen, I still go back to Buffalo and what they're able to do. Perfect passer rating throwing against Jalen Ramsey last night, by the way, as was pointed out on Twitter. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. So coming into this season should be Raheem Morris's last year as a defensive coordinator. Also, same, who's going to be the defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills after this year? Okay, so we know they lost their offensive coordinator last year. Ken Dorsey was a big story coming in last night. Coming out of last night and throughout the rest of this season, it's safe to say Leslie Frazier is not long for Buffalo at this point. Opportunity number two should be knocking after what he's done the last couple of years as their DC. I think Buffalo's just that good, man. I really do. Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, listen, we know all about takes that did not age well.
Yeah, we've been there. We've all been there.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's not good. That is not good. Well, Mike, you asked me a question I knew the answer to without you even giving me any prompts. I think you're going to know the answer to this one. One of the movies that we quote extensively involves the great Denzel Washington. And he's in a diner. And he's talking to Ethan Hawke. His character is talking to Ethan Hawke's character. And at one point, after a story Ethan Hawke tells him, Denzel says, you know what?
I don't believe you.
John Harbaugh,
you are the rule with a fine training officer. And the best story you could tell me is a drunk stop?
Is a drunk stop?
Put it in the back, bang, code X.
Code X. So,
code X.
He's so confident. He's confident. Hey, he's going to be a quarterback here for a long time. I talked to him. Let's go out. No, I don't. Because it's still a negotiation. And this is, and Mike, I'm telling you, I have listened to so many smart people explain this situation. And my comprehension is it could be better, but it's decent. So I listen to people who are a lot smarter than I am, a lot more plugged in, talking about this Lamar Jackson contract situation. And after I listen to them all, I say, it's still weird. These explanations don't make me feel better. That statement from the Ravens doesn't make me feel like, oh, this is fine. This is much ado about nothing. It's a media creation, on and on. Nobody has said a thing that makes me understand why Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, two willing partners, have not come to a contract agreement. So it's either they don't want to, or it's either Lamar doesn't want to, or the Ravens, you have to believe that the Ravens are going to go below market value on a quarterback contract.
Let me take a shot, but I would substitute strange and say unprecedented. Not unprecedented for a player to represent himself, unprecedented for a player of this caliber to represent himself in a negotiation of a contract of this magnitude. But to go back to training day, sounds like much like newspapers, what you're saying is whatever coaches say is 90% bullshit. But it entertains me. You won't let me read it.
Now you.
So you entertain me.
So you entertain,
you entertain me with your bullshit. Okay.
Okay, go.
So... I'll go Pulp Fiction. You have to appreciate what an explosive element this agent situation is, all right? Because, Michael, it wasn't that long ago. Really wasn't that long ago. And matter of fact, we took such a long break until we missed the homework independent study clause story. It wasn't that long ago when Kyler Murray was scrubbing his account of all things Cardinals because they couldn't get a deal done. Kirk Cousins played on the franchise tag. I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is the same caliber or ever was in the same caliber as Lamar Jackson. I'm just saying, and he played on the tag and he ended up moving on. Dak Prescott's contract was a big to-do. It's like, this happens, man. These contracts are complicated. They're yeah. very, very complicated. And the complicating factor, the complicating dynamic here, and I'm not saying that this is why they haven't come to an agreement, because unlike a lot of people, Lamar Jackson could have an agent right now, and they still may not come to an agreement. Because Lamar Jackson may say, I ain't signing that deal. But what's complicating about it is, you, like, again, you and I pay an agent, so we ain't got to be on the phone negotiating, so we could focus on being the best version of ourselves that we want to be. Lamar Jackson is busy with his full-time job, which, by the way, the Ravens aren't mad at him focusing on his full-time job. I'll say it like I said on the pregame show for Niners at Texans in the preseason on Amazon Prime Video. Same thing I said then still stands now. Same thing I said then still stands now.
We'll be there on Sunday.
Go ahead. Which is, it's complicated, but not contentious. It's inevitable, though not imminent. And sure enough, the self-imposed deadline by the player has come and gone because the player wants to focus on football. And the Ravens are like, okay, cool. Because the alternative would be that the player who chooses to represent himself with the help of his lovely mother would be consumed by the contract and not the task at hand. So that's why the team ain't tripping, because he's still playing quarterback form. Meanwhile,
okay,
the deadline was only there because if he did have an agent, the agent would continue to engage. Michael, it would not surprise me if, for all the hue and cry and gnashing of teeth, if in a couple of weeks, Ravens and Lamar Jackson have agreed to a contract. Yeah, there's a deadline for negotiations.
So the deadline is not a hard deadline.
The only deadline is when they tag him in March. Exactly. When they tag him in March, the only deadline is July 15th. There's no actual rule that says that Eric DaCosta can't approach Lamar Jackson and say, hey, you know what, man? How about this? Or there's no rule that says that Lamar Jackson can't say, you know what? I spoke to my agent on behalf of Lamar Jackson and I've reconsidered. Or,
all right,
check this out. I'll do this for free. No commission necessary. You want to hear the solution, or did you want to push back on something I said? Because I could solve
I do want to hear. Okay, so hold that thought. I just want to say for like 20
sure.
seconds.
Take your time.
You bring up Dak Prescott and the Cowboys.
Sure, I'm missing that was never somebody. Really.
That was never really positioned as a partnership. Not like this. And then eventually they gave Dak his money. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, that did get contentious.
That was contentious,
with the whole scrubbing.
Yeah.
And then they came to a deal, and it was still dumb with the Cardinals, with that stupid thing that they did. Yeah. That was just, whether it's the Cardinals or the agent, that was stupid.
Aaron Rodgers.
So even Aaron
Rodgers
got
another one. Like, go down a list of these complicated, like, most of them are. Like, Aaron Rodgers was a problem. He was going to retire,
In this case, tell me this, and I want you to make your point about what you were going to say. I don't want you to lose it.
No, I got it. You here. Take your time.
Can you think of a team that is, in any of those cases, Deshaun Watson, different category. Team says, oh, wow, we cannot wait to engage this player in a contract. We want to give him the money. And the owner came out and said, wow, I don't know why he won't take the money. We want to give him a contract right now. We really want to do it. We want to do a deal. I don't remember any other franchise other than the Ravens doing this with their franchise quarterback, and the franchise quarterback is saying, not right now.
Nobody's actually seen the deal. Nobody's actually seen. Right. There's been reports about, okay, well, he was offered more than Kyler Murray and he wants to fully guarantee like Deshaun, whatever. Nobody's actually seen the terms of the deal. So we don't know what he's turning down. They have been engaged in conversations. I can say that on authority, and I think we all know that they've actually talked. It's not like he doesn't want to negotiate or he doesn't want to sign a contract. He doesn't want to sign that contract, which is his prerogative. I've seen plenty of teams say, we want to sign the player. That doesn't stop the negotiation from dragging on. This is a typical contract negotiation.
Okay.
It happens. My contract with NBC expired first week of August. I just got the DocuSign this morning. I mean, it happens. It's a process.
What?
It's a process.
You weren't signed? You weren't signed? I didn't know this. How did I not know this?
Because I didn't leak it to the media. We didn't leak it. It wasn't a bunch of insiders talking about.
Gary, put that on the lower third. That's a lower.
Let me shut up because I still ain't signed. If I say too much, they may pull it back. Let me shut up.
Today.
They may pull it back. Let me stop dry snitching. They may decide that, you know what, you talk too much. Let me rescind this offer. They may pull it off the table. Right. But this is what I'm saying. So here's the solution. All right.
Free
game.
Let's go.
Free game.
Here we go.
I don't understand why these quarterbacks. I mentioned Kirk Cousins intentionally, just prematurely. I don't understand why these quarterbacks don't Kirk Cousins this thing more often. So the franchise tag for 23
right
is $46 million, fully guaranteed. The franchise tag for 24 is $55 million, roughly, fully guaranteed. I was told there would be no math, but that's roughly $101 million, fully guaranteed.
Ooh.
Okay?
Yes, that's beautiful. It's beautiful.
After that, it becomes somewhat cost prohibitive from a salary cap standpoint, right? If you're Lamar Jackson, why not, forget Kirk Cousins, why not LeBron James this thing? Why not say, I'll do a two-year deal. Give me a two-year deal, $100 million, fully guaranteed, which is what the Ravens would pay anyway to tag him twice.
Is that you're not asking for anything out of
ordinary.
Right.
2 years, $100 million, fully guaranteed. You now maintain maximum leverage, okay, much a la LeBron when it comes to I want to see what the team will continue to do around me. And B, as the cap continues to rise and as other quarterbacks like Herbert, like Burrow, whoever – get contracts, you can now go back to market in your mid to late 20s again. Like, I don't even know if, and again, I don't know this, I don't have this on good authority. If Lamar wants 5 years fully guaranteed for $250 million based on what Deshaun got, and it goes without saying the differences between Deshaun Watson and what the Browns signed him in spite of versus Lamar Jackson, on the flip side, you only have the leverage, you can only negotiate what you have the leverage to negotiate. Deshaun was effectively a free agent, and therefore there was a bidding war, whereas there's one team that will be bidding against itself. But again, okay, you think you should deserve a fully guaranteed contract. Do a short-term deal. Do 2 years, okay, $100 million.
I love that.
That's $50 million a year. Call it a day.
I love that idea. And I guess the only problem with it from a player standpoint is great. It's brilliant. Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to do it anyway. You're going to pay me the money. The issue, I don't know, is the structure. So would the structure be prohibitive for a team? So the franchise, no team really wants to do the franchise tag. It means, one, you didn't come up with the deal. And then, two, you just got this big mountainous number on your cap, you can't do anything with it. You can't play any games with it. With a two-year deal, guaranteed.
So get creative. Maybe that's the total
amount.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's the total amount. Maybe a signing bonus. Maybe it's a dummy year. I don't know. That's for smarter people than me to figure out. All I'm saying is they're not going to let him walk. I do believe them, going back to your original point, I do believe them. They wanted to be the quarterback there for a long time. I also believe it's pretty delicate. Again, appreciate what an explosive element this body situation is. It's pretty delicate when you don't have an agent as a filter. You know, like, if you're, put yourself in a position of the organization. How do you tell your franchise quarterback who has to, like we talked about yesterday, compartmentalize and go home with this information and then show up and perform at his best for you? Because, you know, quarterbacks, his baby boy, unstable creatures for the most part. Like, how do you tell him, yeah, man, you're a good player, but your playoff record leaves quite a bit to be desired. You know what I mean? You can't tell him directly.
But that wouldn't come up. I don't think that would come up in a negotiation.
If it's the Ravens, it should come up.
No,
if I'm the Ravens, I'm not trying to give him a record-setting contract, because as great as he is, there are some question marks, whether it's durability, whether it's style of play, whether it's playoff performance. I don't think Lamar Jackson, other than in timing, hands down, deserves to set the bar for quarterback.
See, I was with you. I was with you as my agent for free. My agent for free, mm-hmm. I was with you, and I was appreciating. I was like, okay. What's that Jay-Z line? I'm trying to give you $1 million worth of game for $9.99 or something like that. Okay, so yeah. I appreciate that.
Good pocket.
Then, so now, okay, you're going somewhere else, and this is where you're going to run into problems. You start, if you're the Ravens or anybody else, you start cherry-picking stats. Hey, well, you know, look at your playoff record. Okay, now you're gonna derail the whole thing. I think if you negotiate, you just look at market value. Okay, the market, we love you. We're trying to negotiate with you. The market says this, and we're either trying to set the market, most teams aren't, or we're trying to come in at a competitive number within the market.
I'm imagining what the Ravens are thinking, why they may be reluctant to do the Browns thing that they did with Deshaun and fully guarantee $250 million, assuming that would make Lamar Jackson happy. In the interim, Kyler has signed for less than fully guaranteed. Russell has signed for less than fully guaranteed. Who the hell knows what Lamar wants? I don't think Lamar wants out, and I know the Ravens want him. A lot of emotion around the week one games, whether it's division games, reunion / revenge games. Who are you rooting for most this weekend?
The Panthers. The Panthers and Baker Mayfield. Rooting for Baker. That's my dude. Yeah. That's my quarterback. This week,
it has come full circle when we're rooting for Baker Mayfield. It's not till Monday, but I'm rooting for everybody black. I'm rooting for Russ, but I'm kind of sort of rooting for Geno Smith too in a weird way. We'll talk about
really?
That later. But yeah, it's complicated.
Hey,
we'll talk.
Enjoy. Have a great weekend.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.